I did want to share with you, though, from the Gospel. This is a reading from the Gospel according to John, towards the end of the first chapter. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him and who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but of the will or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Here ends this reading from the Gospel according to John. I think it's an important enough day that it bears repeating twice to say Happy Mother's Day. I will be honest with you, though, also, I always struggle with what to do on Mother's Day as far as church is concerned, because on the one hand, I know that this is an important day, and there is no more important job in the world than being a parent and specifically being a mother. God, for whatever reason, has chosen to work through people, and so often the people that we see faith most clearly through are those people that are closest to us. But on the other hand, I also know that nobody's perfect, even our moms. Everybody's made mistakes. And for some, this day is difficult, and for some, just the circumstances of the day are difficult. And so I know it's a difficult day for some. And so I struggle with what the gospel message is for a day like today. So I thought I'd do a little bit of background work. Do you know where Mother's Day began, at least in the States? The year was 1912, and Anna Jarvis wanted to recognize the work that her mother had done after the Civil War. Her mother really made it her life's passion to try to reunite the North and the South and to do some healing work there. And so, of all places, she decided to recognize the work that her mother had done in church. So never underestimate the power of the things we do together as a church. It was a church in Philadelphia. A couple of years later, in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, say that three times fast, picked up on the idea. You know what was happening in 1914? World War I was starting. The world was falling apart. The country was divided. And so what he was looking for is a way to unite us as a country and maybe even the world a little bit. And one thing that occurred to him is, of all the things that divide us, one thing we have in common is that we've all got moms. So he declared that we would make Mother's Day a national celebration. I think you all probably know the name of your mom, don't you? All right, as a way of honoring her, I'm going to give you the chance. Let's speak her name out loud. Would you do that? You might even know the name of your grandmother. If you know her name, would you speak her name out loud? About 2 years ago, Dawn and I got into Ancestry.com, and I realized I didn't know my grandmother's name. My paternal grandmother, my grandfather had been married three times, and what I knew was his third wife for most of my life. His first wife had passed away when my dad was very young, and so I just kind of had forgotten her name. So that was one of the things I discovered, is how little I knew about my family. Dawn got into searching a little bit of her family, and one of the things we found out is we have relatives who lived or came from fairly close in Germany. So there is the outside possibility that they might have even known each other. We're more united than we think we are, aren't we? I'm told that if you get your DNA done, they'll tell what nationality you come from. And for most people, most of us don't come from pure lines, do we? If you get your DNA done, we come from all over the world. If you were to go back and be able to find your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great as far back as greats go, you know what her name would be, right? Eve, right? We're all children of Eve, right? Which means that we're all family, right? Would you turn to the person next to you and say, we're family? You probably ought to remind them then, whether you like it or not. What does that mean? That means no matter where in the world we live, are we still related? Are we still family? Does it matter what language we speak? Whatever language we speak, are we all family? Does it matter what, see, does it matter where whether you're young or you're old? Are we all family? Does it matter whether or not you're voting for one candidate or the other in the presidential election? But are we still family? There's a meeting of the Worldwide Methodist Church that's going to be starting this week, and they're going to be fighting over some stuff. One of them is the United Methodist Church's stand on the LGBT community. A lot of people will disagree, but are we still family? When we disagree, are we still family? Yes. We are all, in other words, children of Eve, and in a sense, I use that word in the same way that it's used occasionally in the Bible, in that we are all children of God. We are all created by a common creator. We all are who we are, largely because God has created us the way that we are. There's a letter that John wrote, and in the first part of 1 John, it says there, we're all created as people of God, and that's who we are. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. But that's not the only way that idea of children of God is used in the scriptures. Sometimes it's used as a unifying idea, but sometimes it's used as a distinctive idea. Sometimes it's used in the sense that we hear it used in the Gospel of John, as I read it a little earlier, that it's something you've got to choose to be, that we are children of God by choice, not by birth, but by adoption. And so when we accept Christ, then we come into the family. That's the sense that it was used in the scripture here. To all who receive him, who believe in his name, it is by choice that we become adopted and become children of God. Now, here's what I struggled with, though, is how is it possible for the same phrase to be used both inclusively and exclusively? And here's what I've come up with. I think we are all children of God by our birth. We are born to be children of God. The problem is that we tend to forget that. We tend to get busy or distracted, and we forget the people that we were created to be, and so we've got to decide for ourselves who that is, whether that's really who we are created to be. I think that's what being accepting Christ and being born again means. It means making the decision to be the people that God has created us to be. Do you know the show The Lion King? I thought it was appropriate to refer to that because it's coming back to Dayton. It's going to be down in the Schuster in June. You know that it's a show about Simba, right? Little lion cub. Simba's dad dies when he's very young, and so he struggles growing up what it means to be a lion and what it means to have lost his father. And maybe my favorite scene in the whole show is there's a scene where Simba's walking along, he's growing up, he's walking along and walks by a pool of water, and he catches his reflection in the pool of water, and he thinks he's seen his dad, and so he stops. And he looks again and realizes it's his own reflection. And that's when the monkey steps in. The monkey says, look deeper. And so he stares at his reflection for a while. And then the monkey says, can you see? You can see him in you. Then things get a little bit weird, and there's this vision that Simba has of his dad. And his dad comes in, and his dad says, when you forgot who you were, you also forgot me. That's a pretty good line, isn't it? Simba says, but how can I remember who I was? I'm not the same person that I used to be. And then Simba's dad comes in again and says, remember who you are. I think that's the challenge of being children of God. remembering who we are. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be children of God? The scriptures go on to say, whoever were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. Or in other words, what is it that unites us together as children of God? Ultimately, not who we were, where we were born, not our decision, but God, right? It's God who unites us together as people of God. Why is that important? Well, if I'm really honest with you, there are some people in my family that I just assume not be in the family. As we were going back and finding out ancestors, I have an uncle of my grandfather who is Uncle Fred. Sorry, Fred. Just happened to be the same name. I don't know why he was just kind of dropped out of the family tree, but there is almost nothing that anybody knows about him. The closest I can figure is it's because everybody moved to this country and then he decided to go back, and that's probably why everybody just kind of he disappears out of the history. There are some people who it's not always easy to include in the family. So why is it important? Because we're united, what? Because of God, right? It's God who keeps us together. And what does that mean? Well, the scripture from John goes on to say, from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. What it means to be children of God is to receive and then to offer grace. Until the time of Christ, people lived under the law. It was important to follow the rules. But after the time of Christ, what unites us together is receiving and sharing with each other grace. What's our responsibility in that? What's the role that we get to play as we relate to others then? The scriptures goes on to say that all might believe through him. Our goal then is to help other people discover who they are. To help other people also come to a belief of who God has created them to be. My favorite Mother's Day story of all time, I think, it's not really a Mother's Day story, but I think it is, and so I'll share it anyway. It happened in the year 1141. There was a town called Weisberg in Germany that was being invaded. And it was clear that they weren't going to win, and so they were going to have to surrender. The neighboring troops were about to invade the next day. But as a act of courtesy, they offered to let the women in this town leave. So they offered the opportunity in the morning that all the women in the town were going to get the chance to leave and not be destroyed. The women in town, however, were bold enough that they sent out a request. Swabia? Frederick of Swabia was the invading country, or the invading forces, said, we would like to take our most valuable possession with us. Would you allow us when we leave to take our most valuable possession with us? And so he agreed, allowed them to take something important to them. And so the next morning he gathered together, was going to let all the ladies in the town leave with their most valuable possession. You know what, when he opened the gate, he found they were carrying with them? Their kids and their husbands. Ended up, the whole town was vacant after they'd left. I love that as a story. Because that's really what we're doing, aren't we? Not just deciding for ourselves to be children of God, but carrying others along on the journey. I've learned since preschool that one of the problems I have is finding where I'm going. In preschool, it wasn't so hard because somebody would grab me by the collar and turn me around and take me where I was supposed to be going. One of the things I really like about modern technology is, because I'm a guy, right? And guys don't ask for directions, so I'm lost half the time. One of the things I love about my new car, or my car that's 8 years old now, is it's got a GPS in it. And so I've really come to depend on this GPS. I can plug an address anywhere in the world in, and it will show me how to get there. And even if I don't know where I'm going, there's a map that shows me where I am. If I want to go to an address that I've been to before, I can just dial it to previous destinations, and it'll show me a list of the other addresses that I've traveled to, and I can plug that in. But do you know what the most frequently used setting that I have on that GPS is? Go home. Go home. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a spiritual GPS? There kind of is, isn't it? I think that's what this scripture is saying. God has given us the power to become children of God, not because of how we were born, by a decision that we offer to Christ. That this is a decision that is a receiving of grace upon grace, so that we might be light in a very dark world, and offer that same hope so that all will believe in Him.